You said it as well, brother, as anyone has ever said it, so feel fine. My wife gave up the name of Davis for that, you know? That took quite a bit. First of all, I have a message for Tony. I forgot to give it to him. You got a call today in the office saying a part has been shipped to you. Do you know what that means? Someone from, I think, Miami or somewhere was shipping you a part. I think it was for the organ. So I delivered it publicly. Okay, if you go to John chapter 18 this evening, John chapter 18. John chapter 18, verse 1. When Jesus had spoken these words, he went forth with his disciples over the brook Kidron, where was a garden into which he entered and his disciples. And Judas also, who betrayed him, knew the place, for Jesus often resorted there with his disciples. You know, if you have gold and you know it's gold, you really don't mind if it's tested. Tonight, if you know you're a Christian, you won't mind being tested. It's interesting that a number of the verses in the quiz had to do with deception. I want to think a little bit tonight about deception, ending with some thoughts on Judas. As I read these verses some time ago, it struck me that Judas was familiar with Gethsemane. It's amazing, isn't it? That Judas was familiar with Gethsemane, for the Lord often went there. Turn your Bibles, if you would, to Matthew, or Mark chapter 7, rather. I'm sorry. No, I'm wrong. Matthew 7. Actually, we're going to read one in each book. So Matthew chapter 7, just one verse, verse 21. Matthew 7:21. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father who is in heaven. Mark chapter 13. Mark chapter 13, verse 22. And this was very similar to the words in Matthew. Mark 13:22, for false Christ and false prophets shall arise and show signs and wonders to seduce, if it were possible, even the elect. And then Luke chapter 15. Luke chapter 15, of course, is the chapter in which the Lord gives the parables of the lost sheep, the lost coin, and the lost son. It's interesting that in our Bibles, in the beginning of the Bible and at the end of the Bible, there is deception. We go to the book of Genesis and we see the adversary, Satan, in the person of the serpent, deceiving Eve. And Paul writes in 1 Timothy chapter 2 that Eve was deceived. We come to the end of our Bibles and we find that with the Antichrist, there will be many who are deceived. And we will find deception runs throughout the Word of God. You know, to be deceived is not a pleasant experience. To be led to believe that something is true when in fact it's not, is not pleasant. Sometimes people will sell you things under the pretense, perhaps, that this is solid gold, and you find later it's far from it. And you have already put out your money, and you have the sad experience of knowing that you were deceived. It's worse yet when you deceive yourself. I mentioned to some of the young men that when I was a lot younger than I am now, I was pretty involved in sports. The high school I went to was the high school from which Reggie Jackson graduated, and we took baseball pretty seriously. And after I got out of the military, I had a very short one-day tryout with the Phillies. You know, you can bring yourself to the point where you think you're something you're not. You may think that you're very good at something until you finally find yourselves matched up against those who are extremely good. And we can deceive ourselves. It isn't always that someone else deceives us. It's possible for us to deceive ourselves. The prodigal son was deceived. Really, the story is a story of two deceived sons. The one son was deceived with regard to the world. He thought the world would give him pleasure. He thought the world would make him happy. He thought if he had money, he could buy happiness. All of that was a deception, which he found out when he wound up feeding pigs. The second son was deceived too. He was deceived into thinking that he was righteous. He was deceived into thinking that he had a standing before God based on his own merits. And you know, there are millions, and I can say without, I don't think, fear of being incorrect, billions of people tonight in the world that are deceived both ways. Many of them deceived that the world will provide happiness and money, you can buy happiness. And many are deceived at thinking that through religion, they're right with God. Sadly, they're both deceived and they're both wrong. It's sad to be deceived. You know, Judas was a deceiver, but Judas was also deceived. Think about this when you think of Judas. He traveled with the Lord Jesus for 3 years. Think of the privilege that was his to travel with the Lord Jesus for 3 years, and he saw the miracles that the Lord Jesus performed. He saw blind people made to see and lame to walk and the dead to rise and so forth. He saw them firsthand. He was a witness to these things. But not only did he travel with the Lord Jesus and have those experiences and those privileges of noticing these things and noting the things that the Lord Jesus did, he was taught by the Lord Jesus. Think of that. You might have had a privilege of having someone who was very gifted in the Word of God, and they spent time with you and they taught you. And that's certainly a privileged situation. But think about having the Lord Jesus as your teacher. Think of the two that were walking along the road to Emmaus, you remember? And he began with Moses and all the prophets and opened up all the scriptures concerning himself. Wouldn't you just wish that you had that segment of his teaching? Going through all the Word of God and showing all the scriptures concerning himself. So Judas traveled with the Lord Jesus, and he was taught by the Lord Jesus. Not only that, but amongst that group, he was the treasurer. He was trusted by others. They assumed that he could be trusted with the funds. He had the bag. The truth was, he was greedy. The truth was, he was more concerned about what was in the treasury than what was spent on the Lord Jesus. And so, Judas traveled with the Lord Jesus, was taught by the Lord Jesus, was the treasurer of the group. But amazingly, despite all of that, he was a traitor. Others had no idea. In fact, when the Lord raised the issue that amongst them there was a traitor, they began to ask, is it me? Could it possibly be me? They had no idea that Judas was the traitor. Now, just a few things that we could think about Judas that we might ask ourselves and think and apply to ourselves. Judas, no doubt, knew all the right phrases. He knew the terminology. He knew the words. He knew the vocabulary of the faith, we would say. Having been taught with the Lord Jesus, by the Lord Jesus, traveling with the Lord Jesus, for all those times, he knew the terminology and the phrases and the words. He prayed. And amazingly, in Matthew chapter 10, he healed with the other disciples. And Matthew 10 says he also preached. Think of this one now who travels and is taught by the Lord Jesus, actually does miracles and preaches. He knew all the right phrases. No doubt he knew all the right people. You know, he knew the right people. I mean, he knew the Lord in the sense of being accompanied with him and being able to converse with him. He was associated with the 12, you know, the other 11. That's quite a group to travel with. That's quite a group to say that you're associated with. So he knew all the right phrases, he knew all the right people, and he knew all the right places. He knew about the temple. He had no doubt been there a number of times, either on his own because of his Jewish background or with the Lord Jesus. Think of those things in relation to our day. You might know the right places. You might know, for instance, this is a gathering place for Christians here. You might know about baptism. You might participate in the Lord's Supper. I would think it remote, but a possibility that you might even preach. And yet Judas was not a believer. Hard to conceive, isn't it, that one could travel with the Lord Jesus, be taught by the Lord Jesus, be so trusted by others, know all the right phrases, all the right people, all the right places. In the end, he's a tragedy. He hung himself. So close. How can you get any closer, but yet so far away from salvation? You know, if you're sports-minded, the worst thing is to lose by a close score. You'd rather be swamped than to lose by 1 point or one run or one goal. It just hurts. This is the way it was with Judas, you know. He was so close. Let me ask a question. It's blunt. It's very pointed. It's challenging. We could say it's acid poured over gold. What makes you think you are saved? What makes you think you are saved? Is it because you know all the right phrases, and you know all the right people, and you know all the right places? You're no closer, certainly, than Judas was. And those things in and of themselves would never be a reason to say that you're saved. You know, today we hear the term, it's a day of easy believism. We answer a few questions and people tell us we're saved. Dan Smith wrote a book about leading children to the Lord, and it's used in many camps. And this is one of the phrases and things that are taught in it. Never ask a child questions to which they can answer yes or no. Never ask a child questions to which they could answer yes or no. You know, many have been pressed. Many have said, do you want to be saved? Yes. Do you want to pray? Yes. And then they are led through a prayer and perhaps told that they are now saved. Now, in some cases, they are, thankfully. In fact, it's not only a day of easy believism, it's a day of, in some cases, terms that are not biblical. And I'm not getting into the theology of it tonight, but, you know, receiving Jesus into your heart is not a biblical phrase. You will search far and wide to find it. You see, in many cases, when we talk that way, there's the absence of any sense of sinfulness. There's the absence of any sense of need. Repentance is not present often. Let me ask, if you profess to be a Christian, does the Holy Spirit witness to your spirit? The Bible says that will happen, that the Spirit of God will witness to our spirit that we are His children and we are His sons. What's your thought life like? Do you think of God? Do you think of the Lord Jesus? Are they something remote until you only come to the right place? You see, conversion is a work of God. It's a mighty work of God. It's a change of one's heart. Not really even a change. It's a new heart. And we sang it tonight, things are different now. Things are not the same. Does the Holy Spirit witness to your spirit? I remember when I was in the business world, sitting in meetings, and we were discussing millions upon millions and millions of dollars. And in the middle of these meetings, the Spirit of God would bring to me the precious thought. Out of all these people here gathered, you're probably the only one that's saved. And it rejoiced my heart. Or he would speak to my heart about how temporary all these plans are and how quickly they could end. Eternity is real. That's the witness of the Holy Spirit. Do we think on spiritual things? Do we think of God and the Lord Jesus? Do you feel comfortable in worldly settings? Do you feel comfortable in worldly settings? I say this to young people today who profess to be Christians. Do you feel comfortable in worldly settings? You know, even Lot, who lived in Sodom, vexed his soul. It wasn't that he lived there and lived there comfortably. He lived there, but he was sick of the sin around him. Do you feel comfortable in R-rated movies? Do you feel comfortable with all the pornography that's available today in many ways and sources? Do you feel comfortable with worldly pleasures? one indwelt by the Holy Spirit would never feel comfortable in those things. What is your interest in spiritual things? What's your interest in being truly with the Lord's people? What's your interest in the Word of God and knowing it? What's your prayer life like? You know, when you think of Judas, the next time you think of Judas, you think of all that he had traveling with the Lord Jesus, being taught by the Lord Jesus, knowing all the right places, people, and phrases. He knew it all. But he was an unbeliever. Now, I started by saying tonight, if you have gold, you don't mind it being tested. If you're a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ tonight, all of the things that we considered really are not discouragements to you. In fact, they ought to be encouragements because you know of God's work in your life and in your heart. You're not what you used to be. But you know, it's possible in a gathering this large with young and old, there are those who somehow have been brought to the place where they've been deceived. And the adversary is the great deceiver. And they've been deceived that somehow because they were raised in a Christian family, they were brought up in Sunday school, they knew the quiz questions, they knew the memory verses, they were fast at the sword drills, and all those things are good and fine. Somehow they've been deceived into thinking that has brought them to a place where they're a Christian. The place that brings you to the point of being a Christian is when you come to the foot of Calvary and you understand that you have a need that you can't fill, that you have a sin problem, and there's only one solution to it, lest you perish. And that's faith in the Lord Jesus. Let me close by saying something to young people today. We have worked with young people for almost 20 years. Our hearts break for you. The world you're living in is nothing like the world I grew up in. Don't get me wrong, sin is sin. The flesh is the same. But never did I grow up in a world where sin was so openly manifested and where young people were enticed and deceived. What you go through in the way of temptations and the drawl of the world and the flesh, my heart goes out to you. But my greatest concern is that it's possible that you could be deceived. And when that day comes, when you must face the Lord, you hear these words, "Depart from me, I never knew you." That brings tears, that thought, to the hearts of parents and older saints. We need to be sure that we have seen our sin and turned to the Savior and accepted Him as our personal Savior, not being deceived that things that we do somehow make us right. So tonight, if you just think of that name Judas, close, but yet so far. Tonight, if you've never really trusted Christ, just say, "Lord Jesus, I need a Savior because I'm sinful and I've sinned. I don't want to give you the words. I don't want you to just repeat the words. Speak to the Lord Jesus. Ask Him to be your Savior. Don't be deceived." Let's close in prayer. I'm going to ask if a brother here tonight would just close in prayer, and that would be the end of our service tonight.